right after that.
All right. Well, it's good to be back up here in the pulpit. I appreciate Pastor sharing the pulpit. I haven't had a chance to share much what went on this summer, but a couple of things. One of the positive, we were able to do a lot of, I think, good things to help some struggling families and churches, and got a chance to preach in a couple different times, enjoyed that. But understand that, and what we're going through and what we're doing as a church is, we're pressing against an opposition here. I'm so excited about last week. I mean, to see someone respond to the gospel and understand his need for the Lord, it thrills my soul. Of all that we do in a church, that's probably number one, is that people have the hope of eternal life based upon the finished work of Christ and what he did on the cross for them. But I want to, the message kind of centers around some of that tonight, is the fact that when we do, all right, and the only way a person gets saved is the Holy Spirit of God deals with them and helps them to see their sin and helps them to see how much Jesus loves them and brings us, it says the goodness of God leads them to a place of repentance, changing their mind. But when we do that, not everybody's excited about that. And I say, really? There's somebody not excited about that? Well, we have an adversary. And as we do well, that we understand that adversary, there's no such thing as a devil, I think we do well to look at the scriptures. And I've given you an outline. This is a little dumb bonus, so it's not on your outline. But if you'll turn to Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter number 19, starting in verse number 11, just to kind of give you some motivation to listen tonight, to recognize where we're at right now, means that when we tread in that ground of spiritual ground where people get saved, we've had people in this church change. God's done some great changes in our homes and with our personal lives and where we're going. And I'm no exception to that. Verse number 11, the Bible says, "And God brought special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchief or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews," now you know that's not, that don't sound too good, does it? "Exorcists, which took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, 'We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth.' And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?'" Or who are ye? Well, understand, the devils know if we're real. The devils knows if you're right with God. And I speaking to the choir, might say tonight, because I know if you're here on a Wednesday night, you're serious about the things of God. But I want us to be even more prepared. As it says in the book of Ephesians, it says, "Finally, my brethren," in verse 10 of chapter 6, "be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Okay, so we have an adversary that I'll guarantee you he didn't like what happened on Sunday. And he doesn't like when there's changes going, good changes going on in your home. Listen, he doesn't bother folks that are not trying to seek him. He really doesn't. He's already got them in his camp. The ones that he's after are you and me. Especially if we're determined, God, I want you to work in my life. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to do your will. I want to be the father you want me to be. I want to be the mother. I want to be the son or daughter that you want me to be. And when you say, God, show me how that I can be filled with the Spirit of God, and that isn't something that's that you're going to showboat with. It's something that God is going to do in your life. And so I want us to look in Matthew chapter number 8, and we're going to read this, if you'll stand out for out of respect for the Word of God, if you can. In Matthew chapter number 8, we look at something that I think is the Lord gives us here to really help us to see what He is impressed with. And that's what we want to have as well. Matthew chapter number 8, starting in verse number 5, the Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home and sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, Go, and he goeth, and to another, Come, and he cometh, and to my servant, Do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said unto them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." Let's pray. Father, we pray that, Lord, when you look down from heaven upon us at Faith Baptist Church, that, Father, that our faith would be something that you would see and that you would be pleased with. So I pray that you'd help us tonight, that, Father, that our exercise in your word tonight would be one where we would say, I want that kind of faith that God would look at and be pleased with. And I pray that, Lord, it wouldn't be to bring some kind of glory to ourselves, but, Father, that your work being done through us by you would be something that would be honoring to you, glorifying to you, and something that, Father, would have that kind of power that is needed. I pray you'd bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. I'm going to do my best to follow this outline, and if I don't get it quite done, and that's sometimes the case when I'm trying to stay within a framework of time. But you'll notice that he says he hadn't. He said, "I've never seen a faith like this, no, not in Israel." Now, that's a big statement. So I think when we see that, we'd say, well, what was the exception that God took to this man's a small little conversation that he had with him? What can we glean from that? How can we gain some information? Because the Bible says that the just, that's people that know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that have recognized that they have a sin problem, and every person, man, woman, child, we all have, and we have all inherited that from Adam. And so we have a sin problem, and when a person comes to that understanding, I'm in trouble with God, and no amount of going to church or reading the Bible or giving things to the church or being a good person is going to erase what I've done. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit of God, to convince men of sin, of righteousness, and of the judgment to come. And so you and I are the ones that have that Holy Spirit. Sometimes I think people think, well, the Holy Spirit just kind of floats around here and there and everywhere. Well, he, in a sense, has the ability, but he mainly dwells in the believer. And he wants to manifest himself in us. He wants us to walk in his Spirit so that we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. He desires to use us in his work. And he says, if I be lifted up, he says, I'll draw all men to me. So we want God to use us, prepare us, sanctify us to be in a place where God could look at us and say, there is somebody that's sanctified and meet for my use. There's somebody that I can use in my work. And I think if we understand that there is a difference in faith. People say, well, you know, we have people say, well, that's what I believe. or that's my faith. Well, you can have your faith, but if it's not something that pleases God, it will do you no good.
Right.
It's not God-honoring. And there's a lot of people out there that have different faiths, but we want a faith that is based upon the Word of God.
Right.
We want to be able to say, thus saith the Lord, and I am doing and trying to be what God wants me to be, not just in church, but every single minute, day of my life. And we need God's help to do that.
Amen.
When the Bible says that it says the goodness of God leads men to repentance.
Right.
Pastor's been making a big emphasis about relationships, right? I mean, that's good. I mean, I'll be honest, I've been preaching a long time, but I mean, that emphasis that he's made that we need to love one another. It's that fact that we're going to have Unity Sunday is a big deal. Because if you're not together in the sense that you really care about someone and you are willing to love on them and be what you need to be for them, then this all this idea of God using us begins to break down. He says, by our love for one another shall all men know that ye are my disciples. That's what we want people to know. We are God's disciples. And for us to do that, we got to have a faith that not only God can use in a sense, but we want to have as it looks at what is it that Jesus saw in this man that he uplifted him to say, I've never seen it like this, no, not in Israel. So the first thing I want is to see it has to be driven by love. If you look at our text, you'll see in verse number 5, the centurion came to him beseeching. Now, beseeching is an earnest desire, not just a request. It was like it was from the heart. I need some help for my friend, for my servant friend. And we see that in throughout the scriptures. Well, I just want to pick up Job. I put some others in there for you as well. But if you turn over to the book of Job, chapter number 31, I think we'll see an interesting statement that's made in verse number 13 and 14. It says, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up? And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? You know, he was a centurion, folks. We know what a centurion is. It was over 100 men.
Yeah.
I mean, and yet a servant, in that time, they were slaves. I mean, but he took as much interest in that slave as he did probably the 100 men, maybe more so. He had compassion on him. That is a loving faith. I've got to do something. I've got to, God's mind, God's heart, God's will, is there some, there's a need there, I've got to, and I see it and I got to take care of it.
Right.
When we think about loving faith and we think about us having this Unity Sunday and we think about we want others to know Christ as their Savior, then we've got to have that kind of loving faith as well.
Right.
I mean, we got to look around and say, well, there's a need. And we ought to do everything in our power to say, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask God, how can I meet that need? How can I help that need? How can I be a part of that need? Loving faith is a concern. Now, a lot of us, we don't want to be bothered with concerns. We got our own problems, right? We got our own set of headaches. It might be your kids, it might be your job, it may be things that are going on in your home, and you say, do I need to add anything else to this? Yes, you do. That's what makes us being able to be that body that God wants us to be.
Right.
We forget about ourselves, our mind is set upon others. Jesus saw this in this individual. Loving faith, and the second part there, is not limited to the flesh. He says he's grievously tormented. You know, sometimes if it's the flesh tries to dictate to us and tries to tell us what's best. How many of you do? You know in your mind that you have this thought that comes to your mind about something you should do, and yet somehow you twist it around in your mind. Oh, you know, I really can get by with that. I don't need to do that. We dismiss it. I want you to look with me in Matthew 21, just a few pages over. Matthew chapter number 21. And verse number 29. We'll start in verse number 28. He says, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first, and said, Son, I go today." He says, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, "I will not," but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, "Likewise." And he answered and said, "I go, sir," and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? Now we know the answer, right? Now how many times does that not describe us? How many times you say, I'm not going to do that. I just don't. But the Spirit of God says, won't leave you alone. You say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to go ahead and do that. See, that's the difference, I think, that Jesus seen in this man. I think that this man looked at his servant and said, "Man, I've got to take care of 100 soldiers. I've got a whole list of things that are on my, things that I got to get done." And he tried to leave it alone. And try to, I think, put it off. And I believe, and I might be reading into this, but if he's like you and me, he says, "No, I'm going to take care of my servant." I think Jesus understood that. Thirdly, loving faith is personal. It's proactive. And it's committed. You look at verse number 9 in our text. He says, "For I am a man under authority and have soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." That was after this statement that Jesus marveled. What does that mean, he marveled? Well, I don't know. The term to me means he kind of took a second look and said, "Wow. Oh, whoa, this is different." There's something here he sees. He says he's under authority. He said, "I know what that means." You know, to be honest with you, as Faith Baptist Church and members of this church, we're under authority. We are. I can't just do anything, right? I can't just... Well, I'll just wing it with my praying or my devotions or with my family devotions. If I get time, I'll go soul winning. No, I'm under what? I'm under authority. I want God's help. I want God's blessing. I just can't pick and choose what God wants me to do. I think this man understood that. He understood that Jesus was under authority, and he also was under that same kind of authority. I think if we stop for a minute, and before we make choices and decisions, and say, "Lord, I really don't have a choice here. I really don't. Do I have a choice of whether I want to study God's Word and memorize it? Do I really have a choice when it comes to being concerned about souls? Do I really have a choice when it says to unify? I have issues, a little thing going on with a brother or sister. Do I have a choice just to try? I'm not going to deal with it. I've gone far enough with this." Or am I under his authority? And say, yes, bless the Lord, I'm going to take care of that.
No.
Lord, that's your will. I think when we have that kind of faith, and that faith is not just driven by a sense of duty. The Bible says we are to love the Lord thy God with all of our heart, mind, soul, strength.
Right.
And it said the second commandment is like unto that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. When we start recognizing and we start making choices that are not under God's authority, really it's saying a lot about our relationship to the Lord. And if we ain't loving the Lord and say, Lord, I really do appreciate what you've done for me, what you've done for my family. I appreciate that you, how many recognize how special it is that God turned the light on for you and you understood that you were a sinner and you were in trouble with God. And he turned it on for you and you repented and you came to Christ. And you know you're forgiven. You know you're a child of God. How many people you know and that you're conversing with every day are blind to that? But you're special. Well, I don't know. I don't feel too special. Well, you're special because God turned the lights on for you.
Amen.
And gave you the ability to see his goodness.
Amen.
Let me say this. Who are we?
Not
to be the people that are going to turn on the lights for somebody else.
Right.
You say, what do you mean? You're going to be that loving individual that's going to do something for somebody else, and you're going to love folks in the church the way we should, so that when folks visit our church or you're being a part of their life in some way and say, well, they're sure so kind, they're so generous, and I've never met somebody quite like that. So that when you open your mouth to say something about Jesus,
amen,
they say, well, maybe I want to learn a little more about this Jesus. I've never met a person quite like that. To be honest with you, I think sometimes that's why our gospel falls on deaf
right.
ears.
Right.
They need to experience the love of God.
Amen.
And that's called faith, folks. That's called faith. You think about that source of loving faith, that salvation, is to understand the magnitude of our sin and the magnitude of God's forgiveness.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you, you can never really wrap your arms completely around it.
Right.
As much as you might try. And I think that's what keeps us so in love with the Lord Jesus.
Right.
When you think about what he's done for you, in spite of you,
That's right.
And that doesn't stop just with salvation. Look at the second point, if you will, with me. And I want to kind of stay in this vein for a little bit on this with this centurion. Uplifted faith is driven by a love of God in Christian living. Now, Paul, and we're going to look at this in Galatians chapter number 2, if you'll turn there with me. Galatians chapter number 2. And we've had some preaching on this late, and quite a bit. Is the idea that we cannot please God in the flesh.
Right.
It's impossible. It won't work. It really doesn't do any good. Galatians chapter number 2. The verse is there, but I'd encourage you to see it in the Bible here with me. Look at verse 20 with me. He says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ what? So we're no longer our own. We're bought with a price. He lives in us. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
He loved me and he gave himself for me. Let that ring in your ears a little bit. There's a lot of people out there that really don't understand what real love is. And I'll be honest with you, the only place they're going to find it is through you and me. That is so important when it comes to the idea of God's going to look at our faith and he's going to say, marvel at it. Because it's exceptional. That kind of faith understands the love of God. That kind of faith says, that's the kind of love I need to show other people. It takes time. It takes putting aside the things you want to do.
Right.
It takes time to say, I'm not only going to say, God, show me, give me people in my life that I can show that love to them. So we got two things going on here. We got the devil that doesn't like what happened last Sunday. He doesn't like what's going on in your home, the good things that are happening in your home.
Right.
There's some pushback there. We're talking about starting a work in Darien. Darrington. You think he likes that?
No.
Think he likes the fact that they're going to study the Word of God? So what do we need to do to be prepared? We need to be living by faith right now.
Amen.
This Unity Sunday isn't something, oh, that pastor just come up with this, dreamed this up, it's a good idea. No.
No.
We've got to be in Christ, bound together, strong in His Word, strong in His will, desiring to do what He wants us to do His way. Look in verse number 21. Remember Paul said in the Galatians, he says, there's no other gospel. If somebody comes preaching another gospel, it's not another gospel. It says in verse number 21, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So we're not just keeping rules here, we're living by faith. What kind of faith? Loving faith. We love what our Savior's done for us, and we want to see Him do that for other people.
Amen.
I want you to jump down, Galatians chapter number 5. In verse 5. The Bible says... Let's go back. He says, in verse number 4, he says, Christ has become no effect unto you. Whosoever is justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by what?
Faith.
Remember, he says, it's Christ in me. Colossians 1:27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God working through you. So you say, well, we're gonna do this or that or the other. You're gonna say, I'm gonna try to raise my children up for God. You need His help.
Amen.
You're gonna. I'm really this summer. I really got a better picture of what I need to be for a husband. You say, you haven't figured it out in 45 years. And the Holy Spirit says, no, you haven't really got it too good yet. So I say, God, I need your help. I need your help.
Yeah.
You say, we need His help every day.
Amen.
If we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh or the desires of the flesh, then we don't want to frustrate the grace of God. So there is grace, is what God is saying. I'm going to give you grace to accomplish everything you need to do. If you were saved by God's Spirit, by trusting in Him for salvation, what is it that we cannot trust Him every day for the task that He wants done? I mean, I can tell you why we don't have... everybody wants to swarm in and be a part of the soul-winning group. It's not because the Spirit is saying, not you. I want you to stay home. Or did the Spirit say, yeah, I want you to be a part? He said, well, that's really not who I am. You're right, it's not who I am either. It's not with any of the people that went out tonight either. But the Spirit of God says, I'm under authority. God, you know what? You know where I'm at. You know how I feel about this. I need your help with this. Give me words to say. Give me a heart to say the things, to step into. I remember seeing a whole group of kids tonight. There must have been 5 or 6 of them, and they were all, you know, they're all being mischief downtown, as they you might guess. And I wanted to just, well, they were about 25 feet away, and I figured, you know, my spirit, my flesh says, they're not going to listen to you anyway. They're all, and the Spirit of God says, no. Go over there.
Yep.
Share with them the truth.
Amen.
It's up to them to decide what they want to do, not you.
Right.
Loving faith is to continue in the Christian service. We do not want to frustrate God's grace. We know that we have to wait for His help. Seek His help. Look in verse number 6. For Christ, in Jesus Christ, is it neither circumcision availeth anything, or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by what?
Love.
Love. Now, we don't have issues today about circumcision or uncircumcision, but that is denotes the idea that it's just if I do my duties. Boy, we get into, and I actually kind of pastored that way, expecting people to do certain things, not realizing that they couldn't do it, and I couldn't even be the pastor I needed to be without God's help. I believe with all my heart, I wonder sometimes how many times we do frustrate the grace of God. God says, why are you trying to do this in your own strength? I'll help you with it. Just ask me.
Yeah.
Seek me. Wait for me, and I'll help you. How many of you sometimes feel like, boy, I can't do this parenting thing,
amen,
right? I can't, it's beyond, well, you know, that's a good place to be.
Yes,
does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
That's a good place to be. I know I need to learn verses, and I know I need to be sharing my faith. I know I need to be more in intimate with the folks in my church. Well, that's a good place to be. Because if you know you're deficient in any area, all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm waiting on you. I want to do it. I will do it. And I'm going to go do it. I just want you to be with me when I do it. We start this homeschool co-op. I'm praise God that it's still going. But it had a rough start. I don't think the Spirit of God made it a rough start. How many agree with me on that?
Amen.
I think it was the lack of the Spirit of God that made it a rough start. And so we have to examine ourselves and say, wow, I really should have trusted the Lord when my feelings were trying to guide me this way and this way. And God says, I want you to go this way. But that doesn't apply to that. That applies to so many different things.
Exactly.
I agree with Pastor. I says, I'm glad that happened. I really am. You, really? Yeah, I'm glad it happened because it really reveals that we need His help.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to go forward. I think about this, and I'll be honest with you. I mean, when we talk about Darrington, I'm trying to say that right. I'm thinking about going there. How far is that, brother? 37 miles, and we're going to have to be consistent with some folks that show up.
Right.
That means we're going to have to spend some time studying, preparing, and praying.
Amen.
And visiting and encouraging. And man, I'm going to have to take up some of my time.
Right.
I'm going to have to expend some of my gas, and I'm going to have to spend some of what I was doing something else, and now I'm going to have to be doing this. Is that the Spirit or is that the flesh? Right? And we've got to say, God, I need your help.
Amen.
I want a love for you, Lord, that is so big and so great that all those excuses and things that I thought were a problem, I want to be able to look at those folks and say, God, I know you love them. It's no accident that you've given us already 6 that are showing some interest. Yeah. God did that.
Amen.
What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with it? God, we're going to do this your way. We're going to love on them. We're going to pray for them. We're going to encourage them. But this is the place right now, you're looking at right here, this is the place where we get all that experience. Loving faith. You know, it takes faith to love your brother. It takes faith to love your sister. You know why? Because they're different than you. They don't think like you. But that's okay. You don't think like them. Galatians chapter number 5, look at verse number 13. Just continue that thought in Christian living. Verse 13 says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by what?
Love.
Love. Serve one another." So we've been liberated from the fact that we don't have to, our duties to come to church, it's duties to give. Our duties, this will make me right. No, as Pastor mentioned, God is so pleased with me through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is happy with me.
Amen.
Really? Yeah, he is. Not because of your performance, by the way, but because of the blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Finished. It's finished.
Amen.
Hallelujah, it's finished. And so we have been given this liberty. And that liberty is for what? By love, serve one another. So we need to get busy, folks. And this is what this is really about tonight. Lord, help me to really learn how to love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. If that can happen here, you know what? If it really gets to going good, you know what happens? It just spills over.
Yes, that's right.
It just spills over. You say, man, this is so fun. I'm going to love on somebody else. Man, it's so fun to be loved on and encouraged that way. I'm going to love on somebody else and encourage them. Look at verse 14.
Yeah,
he says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." That's easy to say, and guess what? It's not hard to do.
No.
It's impossible. Impossible. God gave us something that's impossible, but it's possible. Well, you're talking funny talk tonight, preacher. It's impossible because you can't do it in the flesh. You ain't going to do it. God wants to help us. God is looking down right now, hoping that we'll say, as a church, we'll say, "Lord, we're going to reach out to you. We want this thing to grow. We want to be the kind of people that when people look in, by their love, shall all men know that we are his disciples." We want them to see that. But it has to be nurtured. It has to be nurtured. You say, well, how do we nurture that? Well, one thing is, and I'm so glad, and we need to work harder at it, is that we need to look at this book and say, "God, I need something from this. I really do. You've given me a tall order to love people that are not like me."
Right.
And some of them are pretty hard to love, and I know I'm pretty hard to love.
Amen.
And so I need your help with that, Lord. And so you study the scriptures, and you learn it. But I mentioned somewhere, I think yesterday, that people outside our circles take a light view of Scripture.
That's right.
They don't study it. They don't memorize it. It ought to be that we take this book so seriously, like the centurion did. I believe with all my heart he knew the Lord.
Yeah.
And God blessed him for that. He wasn't even an Israelite, probably. But God blessed him for that. But he knew his book. He knew some things about, I can't just let my servant go. That isn't the mind of God. I need to take care of him. I need to have a heart for him. And so we have, and I put understanding and inspiration is really the same thing. When you get the mind of God, and you understand what God's mind is, then you're going to look at your responsibility and authority a whole lot different than you have before. You take a light view of Scripture and you don't read it, you don't study it, you don't memorize it. And if we're ignorant of it, like that one in Job, I read that and I thought, wow. That's like, I wonder if he read that. I mean, he didn't have the New Testament, but he definitely had Job. But look at Galatians chapter 5. He gives a description of what the fruit of the Spirit is. And I kind of took liberty to kind of break that down a little bit. I don't know about you, but I like those first things. What love, what that living by faith, guided by love is. It's love, joy, peace. How many of you say, man, that's me. I want some of that. I want some of that. Matter of fact, I want a lot of that. That's what you get to experience when you say, I'm gonna find God's mind. I'm going to depend on the Lord Jesus Christ the same way I did when I got saved. I'm going to do that in a daily fashion. How many of you said something to you today and it kind of turned you sideways? You know what I'm saying? And you wanted to respond.
Amen.
In your spirit, you wanted to say something. But the Spirit of God arrested it. It says, no, don't say that. And you're glad you did, because you said if it would have come out, it would have been bad.
Right.
It would have turned a bad thing worse. But look at things. This is what others experience through you. Long-suffering and gentleness and goodness. That's what they see when you walk in the Spirit. They don't see it doesn't have any bad things listed here, by the way. It's all what? Good, isn't it? You get some good things for yourself. You get some good things for some other people. I don't know about you, but if you've ever been around somebody that, you know, that's long-suffering, that means they don't lose it with you. They don't give up on you. They don't get to the point they don't want to be around you anymore. Gentle, somebody that's your friend that has maybe talked to you and tell you something, maybe it's a little difficult to say, but they say it in a way that's loving and caring. They're gentle, caring, and goodness. There's no other word to describe what goodness is. Just filled with goodness. What to expect while you walk in the Spirit? Faith. You walk in the Spirit, God's going to give you the ability to have His mind, His heart, and fulfill His will. I like the word meekness. We don't use the word meekness. It's kind of a shame. I put the definition in there for you. But it's basically you're under duress of some type. But what comes out? They always say, but maybe the best way to describe it is when kind of being like a rose that's being crushed and it puts off a good fragrance. Things going on in your life that are difficult and hard, but instead of allowing it to overwhelm it, come on, please look at me. Some of us really get under this. Things go wrong in your life, and boy, immediately I can read it on your face. That's not God. That's not the Holy Spirit of God. And you're going to feel that. And that's when you cry and say, God, I need your help. I want you to take over. I don't want to be under this anger. I don't want to be under this discouragement. I don't want to be under this. And God says, I'll help you with that. And so God will give you a sweet spirit and a kind spirit in that moment. Let me know what I'm talking about. He'll give you that. Then comes love, joy, peace. Look at the last. It's temperance. Boy, that's a big one. How would we describe temperance? Self-control. Not self-control, God-control. God's got me. I'm not gonna allow my feelings and my emotions to guide my thinking and my words and my thoughts. Once you step off that cliff, you're fallen. And so you say, no, I'm not gonna allow that. The Holy Spirit lives in me. I want a loving faith that God will, as the centurion would marvel at. Let me end this up. The Lord uplifts faith that's driven by a biblical view. Notice in verse 8 of our text, he said, I'm what? I'm not worthy. You know what? We're never going to be worthy. You realize that? I remember Brother Hoover would always say, well, how you doing? They asked me, how you doing? Well, I'm doing better than I deserve. Or he'd say, praise God, God's good. That's how I'm doing.
Amen.
Your flesh makes you unworthy. Your sin makes you unworthy. But Jesus Christ dealt with all that and continues to deal with that. Look at Romans chapter 12. We know all probably Romans 12, 1 and 2. But I want us to see Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. We are to have our bodies to be living sacrifices. We present them as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. Verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. So it sounds to me like God wants us to walk in the Spirit. But there's a problem that most of us fail to realize that he shares with us in verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me and to every man that is among you, not to what? Think of himself more highly than what? He ought to think. But to think what? Soberly. This centurion, I believe, was a very sober man when he understood himself. The capabilities of his flesh, he knew what it was, and he didn't want that to be manifest. I think if we're going to see God work, and I believe God is going to work, but it will require us to have that kind of loving faith. And it's going to be exercised, listen to me, it's going to be exercised where? Right here. And we need to exercise that among ourselves. Our pastor can't do it all, I can tell you that right now. He's trying to do his best to be loving to every person. But you know what? We need to be loving to each other. We need to share what God is doing in our life with each other. I think we can do it. If we ask him for help, will he help us? Will he bring the unity that we need? And bringing that, will we have that kind of loving faith that we need? We've got to learn. See, I think this is with me. I have operated so much of my life in the flesh. Now listen carefully. I mean, I've been a preacher for 20 years, so I'm going to tell you somebody that's done this. And I still struggle with it. Is if I don't walk in the Spirit every single day, if I don't ask God to help me, I get up in the morning and ask him through the day, God, help me. Then guess what I default back to? Always. I default back to the flesh. And if you're not actively pursuing God's help, you will, just like I do, you will default back to operating the way you know. And you're going to, and it won't be look unusual, because that's the way the world works. But what looks so different is when somebody doesn't fall back and say, Lord, I don't want to do that. I don't want to act like that. I don't want to think that way. I want to have a faith that you You have me under control. And when that happens, we begin to see the power of God.
Amen.
You say, what is the power of God? When he's got you and me where he wants us to be, and he can fully operate through our lives the way he wants. It's not this yo-yo thing, in the flesh, out of the flesh, in the flesh, out of the flesh. God wants us to be straight line, walking in the what?
Spirit.
Spirit. Each day. Let's look at one more verse, Matthew chapter 28. You know this one, but I want you to see it. Matthew 28. Look with me. Jesus is getting ready to leave his disciples. He says in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you, what? Alway, even unto the end of the world. That is a promise.
Amen.
I will fill you. I'll give you all that you need as individuals, as a church. That's where we're at right now.
Amen.
I think we should take advantage of it.
Yes.
Say, God, you've shown us some things over the last few months. You know, this COVID thing, I think, is one of the greatest blessings this church had.
Amen.
Now, people, oh, what are you talking about?
Yes.
It's that COVID has brought us together in prayer and purpose and determination and love. Let's stand as we close. I'm going to pray. I'm going to let Pastor do as he wills. Father, I pray that you just bless. Lord, we don't want to miss. Lord, the world is saying there is no God, that there's no evidence of. Lord, there's so much evidence of your presence. Lord, I pray that we would allow you to sanctify us in such a way that, Father, we do live in the Spirit. We function each and every day in our relationships with our family and with our church and with people that we meet, Lord, in your Spirit, not in the flesh. Lord, help us to overcome and not keep defaulting back to operating the way that we learned as we grew up. Lord, help us to trust you in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You can be seated just for a minute. Thank you, Pastor Frank. That was good.